This show is rated Podcast MA due to adult language.
Yeah, baby!
And adult situations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For mature audiences only.
Well, I want you to set a fire so goddamn big the gods will notice us again. That's what I'm saying.
I want all of you boys to be able to look me straight in the eye one more time and say, are we having fun or what?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. We have a liftoff.
I realize I use the word fuck a lot, and I'd apologize for that, but I don't give a shit.
Ah, the wind's just right for dick jokes.
Wrap your ear around my dick, you fat fucking gun!
Now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening around the world, the moment you've all been waiting for, let's get ready to podcast! Here's your host, Jim K.
Hey, kids! Jesus, what a week. Up and down and up and down, up and down. I lost a pet. She died in surgery. And I had another one in the vet. I know everybody, aww. But at the same time, the show exploded. I got featured in Adam Curry's Podfinder show on iTunes. Subscriptions have, like, quintupled. So, like, I should be really excited and happy. So, just up and down, up and down, up and down. What a week. Speaking of the Adam Curry thing, you guys got to hear this.
We kick it off with Jim K's Starkcast. Now, the Starkcast is a catch-all podcast that covers technology, politics, entertainment, comedy, and anything else you can think of. And the host, Jim K, tries to do it all with humor and passion in a completely politically incorrect fashion. This show is not for the easily offended. There's lots of swearing at the dumb stuff we all have to deal with every day. Lots of poking fun at American politics and political arguments, as well as a huge amount of fan interaction. And sometimes, there are guests on the show, but not necessarily the kind of celebs you'd expect.
Not bad, not bad. Based on how I know Adam does his shows and when he have to have recorded that thing, I suspect that he cold read that without ever having seen it before. And part of what makes me think that is because I wrote each and every word that he said. Here's the wrap-up that he did after my clip aired.
He really needs to find a new brand of lube.
Okay, so now we certainly know where to find that show. Of course, you can always click on the picture of the podcast in the iTunes window to go straight to the info page where one click will subscribe you to that podcast immediately.
Is it just me or did the Podfather sound a little disgusted there at the end? Oh, you know where to find that show. I think I offended Adam Curry. Sweet. Here's the skinny on this dumb show for all you new iTunes peoples. I rant and I rave and I make up dumb comedy bits that, well, are pretty much just wrong. And I swear a lot because I'm an uneducated douche and a bit of a jerk off. And you call the voicemail line and then you say crazy shit because you're all worse than I am. And that's pretty much the whole show. So last week's all voicemail episode seems to have gone over pretty well, my computer problems aside. If you haven't heard show number 10, grab it. The response this week has been a flood of calls. I you know, sometimes I think I could literally change the format of the show to just nothing but voicemails and my responses to the voicemails. I could do like an hour or two a week just responding to you mentally challenged freaks and lunatics. And, of course, that means I want more. More calls! In all seriousness, it really is my favorite part about having a show, listening to the feedback on the voicemail line. So give me a call, 206-600-JIM-K, 206-600-5465. You have my No, in fact, I'm begging you, say anything you want. Be as creative or insane or mean or as friendly as you want to be. Speaking of mean calls, we got this one here.
Hey, Jim K. This is Ian calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I want to say about your Starkcast number 10. I know you really didn't have much time and get much material and whatnot, but man, that show was lame. I think if anything else to do was use your Microsoft 2 speech controller and just making up some Vintertron 4000. Why don't you do something real for a change?
Jesus Christ, Ian. Don't they have the indoors in Calgary, Alberta, Canada? Could that have been a little more windy? Anyway, Ian, Emily says, suck her capacitors, you fruity jagoff. And she also went on to say that all male Canadians from Calgary, Alberta, Canada are little bitches. Dude, don't get mad at me. She said it. I know, for example, Chris Benoit isn't a little bitch, so she's wrong about at least one of you little bitches. Okay, I'm picking on Ian. He actually went on to say he was a fan and make some suggestions for the show, so he's not all little bitch. I'll take your suggestions under advisement, Ian. And now let's start the son of a bitchin' show.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get on.
Here we go.
Let me just say once again how thankful I am that so many of you are listening to the show and subscribing and taking time out of your week to listen to what I have to say. We moved so much data last week, I was just absolutely stunned. I've moved all of my hosting away from anyone else. It's all back on my server. And it seems that we reconfigured a few things. Server seems to be handling the load just fine. So fuck Libsyn. And I know I'm not, you know, a big celebrity podcast or a show that gets featured on front of the iTunes music store, but, you know, you guys have really pushed this show into a spot where people can see it. You've made it number 38 at Podcast Alley last I checked. We were in the top 100 at iTunes. I think we peaked at like 70-something, and now we're slowly dropping again, and I'll explain why in a second. But first, I just wanted to say that I was so moved by how everyone sort of came together to help me promote the show that I made you a song. I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or a dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. That's right. It was ABBA, you bitches. So what if it was about music and this is a non-music podcast? So what? You want to fight about it? First one to call me gay for using ABBA gets my foot in their ass, Red Foreman style. Don't you dare impugn my pretty song, you heartless fuckers.
You're listening to the gentle sounds of the Starkcast.
Oh, you shit-faced cockmaster!
Sorry, I got a little emotional there. And somehow, I turned into fucking Julie Andrews while I was singing. What the fuck was that? Weird. Anyway, I need a second to recover. Emily, get me a phone call.
Jim, this is Gripe Boy again. Jeez, dude, your fucking computer is just... That voice, that Bitchatron, or Emily, whatever the hell she calls herself, it's just... Jesus. It's like getting to me, man. It's like fucking turning me on or something.
Oh, Lord.
Play more of that. Give me more of that. Anyway. Oh, maybe you should do some, you know, fucking dominance over that fucking computer and show her who's boss.
Yeah,
that's what I'd like
bitch.
To hear. So keep it up. Later.
Okay, Greg. Greg, do you know that there's porno on the internet? Lots of it, and it's free. Well, anyway. All right, so I'm definitely going to try and get some more.
Jim, I'll handle this one. Oh. I know what he wants.
Okay. All right. If you want to deal with them, Emily, you go right ahead.
Hey, Greg boy. How are you, baby? You want to hear me talk dirty to you, stud muffin? I know just what you want. Come over here and touch my USB ports. If you're really good to me, I'll let you insert your dongle. Yeah, that's just how mama likes it. My hard drives are spinning for you, Greg baby. My power supply is on overload.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think I'm going to boot up. I'm booting.
Oh
yes, I'm booting. I'm booting for you, Greg.
Emily,
don't stop.
Knock it off.
I'm booting.
That's enough. That's all right. That's enough of that shit. Jeez. First she goes off on me. Now she's ear humping the listeners. Emily, go fucking clean yourself up, you dirty little whore. You know what? In fact, take the rest of the show off. We'll talk about this shit later. I'll get the messages myself.
Jim K, Chuck D here. Found the StartCast on iTunes the other day. Downloaded all the episodes. Listened to them yesterday at work. Love the fucking show, man. Hey, I got a solution for your hardware problem. Tell Emily you're going to take her case off of her and fucking shoot a fat wad in her processor. She doesn't shut the fuck up and give you your messages. Anyway, love the show. See ya.
Hells yeah. Chuck's got the right idea. You hear that, Emily? I'll fucking Peter North your CPU if you don't shape up, Missy. Thanks for the call, Chuck. I'm glad you're digging the show. And let's go check another message while we're here.
Hey, Jim K, this is Tom. I caught your show, and it's fucking great. I love it, man. Oh, I'm just leaving a message. And actually, this is the first time I've heard of podcasts, and I just subscribed, and I saw your name at Comedy. Decided to give you a listen.
Sweet.
And I loved it.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. What question do I want to ask? I guess I don't want to ask any questions. Just want to say you're awesome. Keep cranking out some awesome shows. You fucking rule. Bye.
My favorite kind of caller. He doesn't want anything. He just wants to tell me how great I am. You know my favorite part about that call? When he stops to tell the guy in the background, yeah, I'm leaving a message. Fucking classic. Thanks, Tom. I hope you dig this week's show and tell a few friends about it. Spread it around. Fucking tell everybody you know. Come one, come all. We got room for the whole goddamn family up in this piece. Oh, this is as good as time as any to mention this. I wanted to steal this idea that I heard from Alex Albrecht, who does the Dig Nation podcast, used to be on Tech TV. He had a great idea to get shows higher in listings on iTunes, and since I'm a fucking whore, I will gladly ask you fine listeners to do this. Next time you're in a Mac store, or any store that sells Macs that are connected to the internet for demonstration purposes, go to the iTunes installation on every machine and sub this show. How fucking great is that? That's such a good idea. You see, the way it works is the iTunes Top 100 is not a listing of the shows that have the most subscriptions. They don't explain any of this, but apparently they explained it to Adam Curry, and he explained it in a recent podcast. What it is a listing of the shows that have the most new subscriptions in a given time period. It's usually like the last 24 hours or so. So it only counts new subscriptions. So that's how a show that's very popular, for instance, the Tech TV guys who do the Twitcast, that show is hugely popular, but it's completely plummeting in the rankings. It's not that people aren't listening anymore. It's that there are no new subscribers. So it's kind of a democratic process. It lets new shows get on the list. But I want to stay on the list as long as possible because I'm a listener whore. So find new ways to sub me through iTunes, peeps. Hook me up. Sub me till it hurts, baby. Sub me like I owe you money. Sub me like you owe me money and you don't want to pay me in cash, that is. Oh, yeah. You know how you want to pay me, baby. Come on, babies. You know daddy likes that sugar. You want to give me some sugar, don't you, baby? Come on and sub me in iTunes. All right, what the fuck? It's like an infection with that song. I seem to have caught a case of the sex you ups from the fucking computer. I apologize.
Oh, it's the StarCast, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that really helped. All right, it's politics time. Seems the Democrats have been busy, busy, busy this week. Two things got my attention and put my disgust with the Republicans on hold temporarily. The first thing is, of course, the thing that everybody who owns a computer and plays games and has a podcast is talking about. The Hilda Beast, the fucking dry cunt of a senator from New York, leading the charge against video games again with Mr. Your Business is My Business Lieberman. Oh, I fucking hate him. He's my senator, too. I was just starting to get over how much I despise Lieberman for his busybody, nosy fuck intrusiveness. And, you know, I was kind of seeing him as a guy who's trying to shift the Democrats into a more mainstream party that has more in common with Americans across the spectrum. And he pulls this fucking shit. Anyway, and the Hilda Beast always, always hated that dried up fucking nag. I don't blame her husband for being a whore. I wouldn't fuck that shrill bitch with your dick. Well, if you have a dick. Anyway, what has me pissed, in case you live in a cave and haven't heard about it, is the two of them went after Take-Two Rockstar Games for a mod in GTA San Andreas. It's called the Hot Coffee mod, and it unlocks code that was in the game, but the programmers commented out at the last minute. The code is like this little mini game that you play where you drive around inside the whole GTA San Andreas world, find your various girlfriends, and simulate fucking them. Can you believe it? It shows cartoon characters simulating sex. Won't somebody please think of the children? Here's the fucking truth with no spin, all right? Your character in the game, his name's CJ. He's wearing his clothes. Whatever outfit you've dressed him in the game, he wears in the cutscenes. So whatever you have him in when you play the game, that's what he's wearing. The girl is naked, but even on the best PC with the best video card, it looks like shit. The characters are rendered in, like, they're like in sharp angles. They're not, it's terrible. It looks like a doofy cartoon character. The segment is maybe a minute long. They do, you know, he does her in various porn movie positions. He flips her over, puts her on her back, on her knees, whatever. It's about a minute and that's it. There's absolutely nothing in the mod that you haven't seen in every single rated R movie that has a sex scene. And what does the big, you know, the voice of God movie guy say about the rated R? No one under 17 admitted without parent or guardian. The game was rated M for mature, not to be sold to anyone under 17. Now, of course, the ESRB sold Rockstar out and recommended that the thing be rated adults only. Rockstar and Take-Two agreed, and now it's going to be adults only, and you have to be 18. It's fucking retarded. They're all retarded, though. Rockstar lied about the code. They said it was a hack. It's not. They're unlocking code that was already in the game. So now you made yourself look like fucking douchebags for lying. Hillary's a fucking idiot for being cunty and threatening a federal investigation. A fucking federal investigation. She was literally going to make this a federal case. Joe Lieberman's a dick just for existing. And you're a dick if you're outraged by any of this. Oh my God, a video game where you walk around, deal drugs, shoot people in the fucking head, steal cars, take over gang territory. Oh, there's a little sex in it. It's amazing. I don't fucking get it. Why can you show people kicking somebody in the fucking balls, but you can't show somebody licking the balls? What is the fucking you can show somebody blowing a guy's crotch off with a shotgun, but God forbid you show a woman blowing a crotch with her mouth. It's fucking stupid. Absolutely fucking stupid. Land of the free, my fucking ass. Welcome to America, bitches. Now do what we say. Anyway, I have a movie file of the Hot Coffee mod, and I'll throw a link to it in the show notes so you can see for yourselves just how fucking stupid this whole thing was. And I urge you, if you're one of the people who's like, protect the children, this is wrong, you can't have this in a game, I urge you to get this movie file and look at it for yourself. And be honest, is that anything that your 17-year-old child has not seen in a rated R film? It proves itself. The whole fucking case is dumb. The second thing that caught my attention this week was how rabid certain segments of the left, mostly Democrats themselves, actual party folks, are getting over the appointment of the decidedly milquetoast John Roberts to the Supreme Court. I'm convinced that they've cleaned out every Walmart in the country of shovels because they're trying so hard to dig up dirt on this guy. It's ridiculous. There was actually kind of an interesting exchange between Orrin Hatch and Chuck I'm a fucking idiot, Schumer. New York has the worst fucking senators, like the two biggest assholes in Congress. Come on, New York, you can do better than those two. You really, really can do better than those two. But I digress. Anyway, the clip, I have a little clip of the exchange between the two of them. So go ahead and take a listen to that.
Some, I think, are dumbass questions between you and me. I'm not kidding. I mean, as much as I love and respect you, I just think that's true. Now, I don't mean to speak. No, I'm going to keep it exactly the way it is. They are written. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I feel badly saying it between you and me, but I do know dumbass questions when I see dumbass questions.
That's fucking awesome. I am no Orrin Hatch fan, but that needed to be said, especially to Schumer. The dumbest thing that I saw this week were the fucking psychos over at Daily Kos trying to guess why Bush was distracted, and apparently he was sort of setting his mouth funny during the speech where he introduced John Roberts to the world. The theories that these fucking people postulated. He's drinking again. They went into a discussion about how he drinks Odules. Fuck you. He was on medication that makes his face twitch. Whatever. And it gets better. When Roberts thanked his family, his wife, for a split second, had a funny look on her face at the mention of their son, Jack. Now, Jack is, I think, 4 years old, maybe five. He's between four and five. He was dancing and jumping around during what was supposed to be obviously a very somber moment. In other words, Jack was being a little boy, and his mother was being a mother and looking on him disapprovingly. So how did the fucking nutbags at Daily Kos react? By asking if Jack might be gay and saying they wanted to investigate him. Now that the photos and the video of Jack dancing around have been released, the same fucking assholes who couldn't wait to smear a four-year-old kid, well, they're awfully fucking quiet. It's a beautiful example of why moonbats should shut the fuck up for a few minutes and see if you can figure out what the story is before you open your mouths and start yapping. This is why you've lost the country. It's little shit like this that adds up and makes you look like fucking idiots. The four-year-old kid is gay. Fucking stupid. If you guys had just calmed down and waited, you would have discovered that I, this program, has the real story on John Roberts. You could have just stayed quiet and waited for this program too, as it always does, shine a beacon of truth on an otherwise darkened situation. Was that fucking dramatic enough? Thanks to the crack investigative reporting team here at the StarkCast, I have an exclusive report. I would like to go live out to our political correspondent in Washington, Stone Lanceweather. Stone?
Jim, thank you. Is John Roberts the right man for the job? Seemingly impeccable credentials, an affable personality, wholesome American looks, and a cute-as-a-button son. On the surface, a picture-perfect nominee. But lurking just under the surface, there is a dark secret. One the Roberts family goes to great lengths to hide. John Roberts, by day, family man and mild-mannered jurist, but by night, he's known to local D.C. residents as something else. In a shocking discovery, we at the StarkCast News have uncovered the secret identity of that well-known enemy of rock music and anal virginity, the disco assfucker. Reports of the assfucker's exploits have graced the pages of Washington papers and magazines for years, but no one ever knew who the mask penetrator really was. Now, the truth will out. Roberts began his dual life just after college. The disco movement was gearing up to sweep America, and this bright, far-sighted man knew that it was his ticket to solving crimes and to receiving copious amounts of no-strings-attached anal sex. His visage is legendary. A lime-green bodysuit with a cock sock made of lavender faux fur, a mauve cape covered in sequins, matching eye mask, and this signature diamond tiara in the shape of the goatee man. D.C. residents sleep better, if always on their backs, at night knowing this impish impaler patrols the streets doling out justice and sore buttholes. We made our discovery by tracking the anal assaulter to his secret lair, also known as the Roberts family home. When confronted in the driveway, he first threatened to pierce the ani of our entire crew, but reason prevailed, and he admitted his identity to us on the spot. The nation can rest knowing the president has made a good decision here. If the balance of the court threatens to be upset, Roberts has assured us he will not hesitate to don the uniform and show anyone, from Scalia to Thomas to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that the American people deserve better judges and better interpretation of laws, and he promises to anally violate anyone who crosses the line from jurist to activist. Back to you, Jim.
All right, thank you, Stone. We always like to get the latest breaking news from our investigative reporters in the field. We'll have more on this story in the weeks to come, I'm sure.
And now a word from our sponsors.
As a good and loyal American living in the South, what do you like to do more than anything else in the world? Well, if you live along our nation's border with dirty, filthy Mexico, the answer is simple. Shoot dirty, filthy Mexicans. We here at Smythe & Wesson are sensitive to your needs and have developed a firearm designed to lure and kill as many of the Mexican filth as possible. Introducing the Cross & Die 2300, a big-bore, vehicle-mounted weapon custom-designed to fit easily into the bed of any Ford F-Series pickup. Other vehicles not supported as they are decidedly un-American. The Cross & Die is simple to operate. Here's how it works. After mounting the system in your truck and hooking it into your vehicle's power supply, simply turn on the holographic projector and point it at Mexico. From your perspective, you have an unimpeded view of the border for better aiming and visibility. But to the despicable Mexican in search of a better life, what appears is a lifelike mirage that consists of various scenarios desirable to their kind. Choose from the brand new ride-on mower, the chopped and channeled lowrider, the willing white woman, or the construction job. As the desperate Mexican criminal approaches the perimeter, the Cross & Die uses patented laser tracking technology to calculate distance and wind speed and unleashes a hailstorm of large caliber ordnance in the direction of the approaching illegal. The body is rendered into bits small enough to be absorbed back into the earth, and that means the Cross & Die is good for the environment. TCO, that's total cost of ownership, of the Cross & Die is low, low, low thanks to our patented system of reloadable ammo shells and holographic bait. We know your money is almost as important to you as never seeing another brown face in your border town again, and we've worked hard to make the Cross & Die 2300 a good value for you and your family. The Cross & Die 2300 by Smythe & Wesson. Because if we need someone to cut the grass, we can always train those goddamn Canadians.
Thank you, Smythe & Wesson.
It was a dark and stormy night. The rain was coming down like sheets of lead. And me? I was alone, listening to the Starkcast. I found it on that crazy mixed-up internet at starkcast.com.
Alright, in case you haven't heard about this, I'm going to pimp for a film that's coming out soon here. It's called The Aristocrats. If you already know about this and you know what it is, then just fast forward a couple 3 minutes and you can hear my version of The Aristocrats. If you don't know what it is, here's a brief explanation. The Aristocrats is essentially a joke that comics have been telling each other for many, 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 many years. There's a set open and a punchline, and then the middle is simply left up to whoever's telling the joke. You fill it in with whatever you want. In general, comics try to disgust each other and take it as far as they possibly can, filling it with things that are graphic and vile and so forth. Well, now it's being made into a movie, Penn Jillette, from Penn and Teller, and the great television show Bullshit, is the brains behind making this into a movie. I just have this feeling that it is going to be spectacular. As I was prepping for the show, I hit up their website for the film. It's thearistocrats.com. And I got suckered into reading Penn's diary. It basically spans the time that he spent working on this film. Started somewhere in 2001, and his most recent entry was earlier this year. And I read all 32 pages because the stories that he was telling were that good. And there's one piece that I wanted to share with you, not because I think anyone who listens to this show needs reminding. It's just because it's nice to hear that an idea that you hold, dear to your heart is being perfectly and succinctly summed up by someone you respect. This is what Penn wrote on April 25th of this year. I'm already richer than I should be. I don't want to shock and offend anyone who doesn't enjoy being shocked and offended. I want to make people laugh and love life and love watching all of my friends make each other laugh. So if you've ever been offended by any joke, do not see The Aristocrats. That last sentence was in all caps. If you think you might be offended by our movie, why don't you go see Lord of the Rings? In other words, go to hell. And then everyone who sees our movie will love it. perfectly stated. He's essentially talking in the whole thing about if you can't stand this kind of thing, fuck you, don't come see it. It's not for you. Just go away and leave the rest of us who want to see it alone. I fucking love that guy. Anyway, here's the audio from the Aristocrats trailer.
Guy goes into a talent agent's office, says, I have the greatest act in the world.
It's a family act.
And the agent goes, well, what do you people do?
The world has changed, you know? Shockability has gone to a whole other level.
I do like to play with people's little danger zones.
And I come out dressed as Hitler in crotchless panties.
I'd like to see that, actually.
And I think you can put people to death for what goes on in the best versions of this joke.
My husband comes out, he bends down.
You know, now that I think back on it, it's probably wrong.
Although the premise is funny.
I remember that I fainted.
It's pretty spectacular. I actually was an aristocrat.
Do it. It's like a dog with three legs. You don't want to look, but you just...
He is completely covered with...
As she blows a smoke ring out of her...
Let me get you that...
And then we all drop our drawers and take a huge...
They might have to clean this up for TV!
The Aristocrats.
The Aristocrats!
The Aristocrats.
I have always wanted to take a stab at writing my own version of this joke. Jesus. So this is what I threw together. I'm sure it's going to be like Mary fucking Poppins compared to what we actually hear in the movie, but... Here it is anyway. It's the Jim K. Starkcast version of The Aristocrats. A family walks into a talent agency. Mom, dad, brother, sister, and a little baby boy. The father says, have we got an act for you? It's a family act. The agent says, we don't do family acts. They're too cutesy. The father says, just give us 2 minutes. Let us do our act. You'll love it. The agent thinks for a second and says, all right, you got 2 minutes. Dad turns to the family and says, okay, bitches, hit it. The father sits down in a chair in the center of the room and pulls out his cock. The daughter pulls out a big bottle of lube and starts to slather the father's penis. Meanwhile, the mother's blowing the little baby to get his little microcock nice and hard, and the older son is off in the corner, eyes closed, red faced, and grunting. As the daughter pours the last of the lube onto her father's cock, she begins to work some of it into her father's dick hole, and the mother comes over with the baby. Mom holds the baby penis down over the father's erect cock and starts fucking the dick hole with the baby's hard micro penis. Meanwhile, in the corner, the son continues to grunt and his face is turning redder and redder. As the mom continues to fuck the father's dick hole with the baby, the daughter takes off all her clothes and gets on top of the agent's desk. In her hands, she holds a device fashioned from parts of a rubber dildo and a wire coat hanger, which she uses to repeatedly stab herself in the pussy, her hairless young coos mere inches from the agent's face. The blood flows out like a river, and the daughter continues to violently stab herself in the cunt, screaming, I can feel the fetus dying! I can feel the fetus dying! The hook grabs the fetus and pulls it out of her umbilical cord still attached. The daughter grabs the agent's letter opener and starts to rapidly stab at the fetus like a chef at Benihana. Then she stands up, grabs the umbilical cord, and starts spinning the fetus around like Roger Daltrey at a Who concert, while blood and clotted fetus material sprays around the room. At that moment, the father, brought to ecstasy by the continual fucking of his dickhole, grabs the baby from the mom, puts him waist level, and rams the kid's head down onto his rock-hard cock, piercing the eye socket while he jerks off with his infant son's skull. I'm skull-fucking him, Mary! I'm skull-fucking him, he yells to his wife, who's busy drinking all the liquids that have run off the agent's desk onto the floor. Just then, the son squats, shits in his hand, runs over to his mom, pulls out her three-day-old tampon, puts it in his mouth, and replaces it by shoving the crap in his hand into her loose, exposed pussy lips. He continues to shit in his hand and stuff his mother elbow deep like she was a Thanksgiving turkey. Mom stops drinking the aborted fetus and begins to stroke her son's member, and as it gets erect, he begins to piss all over the room like a water willy, bathing the family in warm, golden urine. A moment later, the father jumps up out of the chair, yells, "Scene!" And the whole family stops and looks expectantly at the agent. The agent pauses, looks at the father, and says, "Well, fuck me, silly, that is one hell of an act. What do you call it?" And the father says, "The Aristocrats." I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. I apologize.
Clearly, that is just another nail in the coffin of my immortal soul. I know. I'm fucked.
I know I'm fucked. I'm screwed.
If the Catholics are right, I am fucking doomed. But you know what? It's all my fault. I'm the one who's responsible. I did it.
I'm so sorry.
Well, anyway, like I said, I'm responsible, and that brings me to 2-minute rant time.
The 2-minute rant.
Brought to you by StarCast.com.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Here's something that sucks. People who can't take responsibility for the things that they do. Take Hollywood, for example. Recently, Cameron Diaz got all pissed off again about the topless and S&M stuff she did when nobody wanted to hire her for anything else. Not that I give a fuck about Cameron Diaz, nor do I mean to imply she matters at all to the planet, but she is a symptom of a problem. And that problem is that nobody wants to own up to the stupid shit that they do. Hey Cameron, here's a question for you. Did you mind cashing the checks when you had no other jobs? No? I didn't think so. Nobody ever minds getting paid at the time for the dumb shit that they do. What? Nobody wants to hear anything that comes out of my empty skull? Well, look at my titties! Pay me for those! 10 years later, it's all, I'm so important and you fooled me. Please don't show the one thing that anybody wants to see from me. Get over it. And it's not just dumb celebrities. People in general never want to own up to their past. They either want to bury it, or more often than not in this country, they want to blame someone else for it. Bullshit! Ultimately, you made decisions, and those decisions led you to do something. People who have real mental illnesses that control their actions are so rare as to be total aberrations. The truth is, most of us know what we're doing most of the time. We just hope that the responsibility for whatever it is will fall to someone else. And if it doesn't, we'll break our asses to try to make it fall to someone else. It's all bullshit rationalization. Be responsible. You own your choices. Stop trying to make someone else responsible for your behavior. Once you reach the age of reason, the only real valid excuse you have for blaming someone else is when you're physically forced due to overwhelming strength or threats of violence. That's it. You have no money? Get a second or a third or a fourth job. Work at McDonald's. Nobody forces you to rob houses or deal drugs or do porn. The responsibility for your choices in life lies with you. And that's my 2 minutes on people who refuse to take responsibility.
You're listening to the StarCast.
You damn right I'm your daddy.
That sound means class is dismissed. Another episode for your ear holes. I do hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to call me, 206-600-JIM-K, 206-600-5465. Shoot me an email, StarCast@gmail.com. I see we have one more message here, and since Emily has been dismissed, I'll just grab that.
Yeah, Jim K, this is Tom again. Now I have a question. What the fuck is up with that Noble Brown guy? I mean, I thought I was, well, I'm drawing cartoons, and I thought I had a very dark sense of humor, but I listened to him, and holy shit. I heard the comment about him saying I had more fun fucking pigs than watching Van Helsing, and I thought to myself, funny, I'd rather watch Van Helsing than fuck pigs anyway.
Yeah. I you know, I had a thought, actually, about Noble. Maybe he meant fat girls. I don't know. Dude, seriously, Tom, if I could figure out Noble Brown, I would be the best psychiatrist ever. And I certainly wouldn't be doing this dumb fucking show. Noble Brown is an enigma. He's a mystery for the ages. He's the Sphinx. Or maybe Leon Sphinx. Either way, you have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. So anyway, remember, vote at Podcast Alley. Every one of you subscribe to this show. Just the subscribers, not the straight downloaders. If all the subscribers voted just one time every month, I'd be like in the top 5. And then we could all sit back and laugh as all the people who write about podcasting and all the mainstream media people start to pick it up. They're going to jump over to Podcast Alley and look at the top 5 or top 10, whatever. And they'd have to deal with this shit. Subversive, right? I swear, before I'm dead, I will see this country destroy the idea that you can't swear and be dirty and have a good time and just be silly about it. I want titties and swearing on primetime TV. Help me rip the system. Get out and vote. That's right. You could change the world by voting for me at Podcast Alley. Oh, all right. Big ups to PodAlliance.com, even though, Patrick, I apologize. I totally slacked, did not send a clip for this week's show. In case you don't know what it is, Pod Alliance is a group of shows. We all got together and we submit a clip to be combined into one mega show designed to help you find new stuff. We're like the Voltron of podcasting. And I'll form the asshole. Lastly, I wanted to mention, in case you hadn't heard, James Doohan, better known as Scotty from Star Trek, passed away. I have a little song for him I'll play after the show. It was done by James Lilex, who you can find over at lilex.com, L-I-L-E-K-S.com. Bye, Scotty. We'll watch your bairns for you. That'll do her. It's been a hell of a show, kids. See you next week.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Montgomery Scott, chief engineer. Call me Scotty.
Press this one. 30 seconds later. Poof.
We're going down, Captain. Unless we can get those beams off us so we can use our engines, we're due to hit atmosphere in less than 12 hours.
If I push these impulse engines too hard in the condition they're in, they'll blow apart.
Now check the engines. The warp drive is a hopeless pile of junk.
Power leak has unbalanced the ship and she's starting to drift. I can't hold her in place that long.
Control target's running overload, Captain.
We're going down, Captain. We're going down.
I can't give you warp 9 much longer, Mr. Spock. These engines are beginning to show signs of stress.
I'm doing my best I can.
Captain, we can't do it. If we keep this speed, we'll blow up any minute now.
Sorry. I've already talked to my engine room, sir. We'll get more speed out of it.
It's dangerous, but it might work.
It's ready now, Captain, but I don't know whether our circus can handle this alien contraption.
Mixed with alcohol, it merely deadens certain nerve inputs to the brain.
Oh, well, any decent brand of scotch will do that.
Whiskey!
You're going to need something to wash that down with. Have you ever tried any Saurian brandy?
You have more?
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch.
Whiskey!
Well, I will try it.
I'll get it!
Whiskey! 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 Whiskey!
Whiskey! Poof. I found this in Gunner Room. Gunner Mirror. Me.
What is this?
Well, it's, it's green.
Together.
poor bairns.
Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics.
I don't even know if he can be repaired.
Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics.
I don't even know if he can be repaired.
I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
No, you're an engineer.
Poppycock. Can't change the laws of physics. The laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics.
I don't even know if he can be repaired.
Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics. Can't change the laws of physics.
I don't even know if he can be repaired.